Any dangerous ideas? That's what older sisters are for. What are you up to tonight?
Netflix and a glass of wine. Not like others who've got a sexy man waiting for them at home. Enjoy him.
Oh, I will, and I plan to be very thorough about it.
I arrived at home shortly after finishing the conversation with my sister. Just seeing Graham's car parked in front of my house made my insides flutter, even though it scared me how much this felt like we were a family. What scared me even more was how much I wanted it. When I opened the front door, my jaw dropped. There was a tent in my living room. A tent! I swept my gaze around the room, almost afraid of what else I'd find, and my chest warmed when I saw both Graham and Milo sprawled on the couch, sleeping. They looked so cute that I wanted to wake them up just to snuggle them. Tiptoeing around the room, I started picking up some toys that were sprawled around.
"You're back,"
Graham whispered, startling me. He glanced at Milo, who seemed sound asleep.
"Let's not wake him."
"I'll carry him to his room," Graham offered. Milo slept like a rock while Graham took him in his arms. We tucked him in together, then returned to the living room, where I came face to face with the tent again.
"How did this happen?" I inquired.
"Simba's."
"Oh, God, what else did you buy?"
"Just superhero figures and the tent. And a truck. And a fire truck."
He was so sexy, walking barefoot around my house. His jeans were low on his hips, and a white t-shirt with short sleeves covered his torso. It was the kind he wore under his shirts, snug enough for every delicious inch of him to be on display. I had a prime view of his mouth-watering oblique muscles. Devouring him had to wait, though.
"You have to learn to tell him no. He's playing you."
"I know. But by the time I realized it, it was too late. And where's the fun in saying no?"
"So how much fun did you have, exactly?"
"We went crazy at Simba's, came back to build the tent, did some math homework, and went for ice cream."
"Wait, math?"
"Yep. Had to search for tutorials on the internet. Haven't felt so stupid since I failed introductory engineering in college. But the internet saved my ass."
"Wow." I was too stunned to say anything more than, "Thanks for spending time with him."
"I loved it."
"Well, now I am going to look after you." I felt him wrap his arms around me from behind. He spun me around until we were facing each other. I rose on my tiptoes and kissed his chin. On a feisty whim, I scratched him with my teeth a bit. Graham pulled back, then crushed his mouth to mine. I couldn't even begin to describe the feelings I had for this man, but I planned to show him and to make him as happy as possible.
"I'm so lucky to have you and Milo in my life," he whispered in between kisses.
That caught me off guard because, as far as I was concerned, it was the other way around.
"That's true for us, too."
Graham had slipped so easily into our lives that I was afraid he'd slip out just as easily, and my feelings for him were stronger every day. I'd never stood a chance. Who would? Look at those dimples and the baby blue eyes. And that smile, huh? Who wouldn't fall for that? Well, I hoped that no one other than me did, because I was not going to share him. Nope, Graham Fraser was all for me. Anyone wanting a piece of him would see me in full catfight mode. I went to set my phone on airplane mode, so no messages from bridezillas or other customers would interrupt our time together. I groaned when I noticed an email from Jeff. "From Jeff Finn. To Lori Connor.
I'm in L.A. next week. Let's meet for dinner."
"What's wrong?" Graham asked. I showed him the email, and his nostrils flared when he read it. "I'm going to give a friend of mine a quick call, okay? She's a lawyer, and I want her take on this." He nodded curtly. I felt him pace the room while I called my friend Bridget, expelling a relieved breath when she answered. In quick words, I told her about Jeff's past emails and asked if she thought meeting with him was a bad idea.
"In my experience, these types of calls come when the party is regretful or looking to make amends. I think you should meet him and keep an open mind."
"An open mind?" It sounded easy in theory, but he'd hurt us both so much.
"Yes, go to that meeting, see what he wants."
"Okay. I'll arrange a meeting via email. The least contact I have with him, the better.
Let me know if there is anything else I can do."
After hanging up, I tossed the phone on my couch and massaged my temples. Graham was watching me intently.
Lori.
My lawyer thinks I should meet with Jeff. I paced around the living room, trying to shake off the growing unease.
Lori, talk to me. I want to know what's going through your mind right now.
I don't even know.
What are you afraid of?
He asked softly. What if he's interested in Milo after all this time? Could he take him away? Logically, the fear was irrational, but I wasn't feeling rational. I was scared.
No. Hell no, he couldn't. We wouldn't let that happen.
We. I mean, he's never even paid child support, so I can hold that over his head.
I'm coming with you to meet him. We'll go together and see what he has to say.
That isn't a good idea. You don't know each other.
So what? When someone bothers my girlfriend, I want to be by her side. Unless you don't think I belong there.
Graham's eyes were steely with determination, his jaw clenched. God, the last thing I wanted was to hurt him. Of course you belong there. He looked at me like I was his to protect, like he wouldn't take no for an answer. He came right up to me, wrapping me in those strong arms. Feeling him pressed up to me melted away some of that anxiety. We'll go together, I said. He tightened his arms around me and brought his mouth down on me. His tongue teased my lips, and I parted them instantly, welcoming his heat. The contact electrified me to the tips of my fingers and toes. I braced my palms on his broad shoulders, then smoothed them down his chest, tracing the dents between his muscles. Would I ever be able to be around him and not touch him shamelessly? All evidence suggested the answer was hell no.
I have something for you,
he murmured when we came up for air. He let me go, went to the foyer, and returned with a calendar. I held out my grabby hands when I realized it was the team's calendar. Gimme, gimme. I didn't know it was out. Which month is yours?
March.
I flipped to March, and my knees went weak. He looked absolutely mouth-watering, with his shirt off, held in one hand over his shoulder in a casual way. His chin was dipped slightly, his gaze cast in the distance. I groaned. Now the whole country will know how hot you are.
No worries, baby. You're the only one who can touch me.
I should get started on that, right? Why salivate at the photo when I have the model in front of me?
As I said, I like how your mind works.
I took one last look at the calendar before tucking it away on a bookshelf. I smiled when I felt Graham's hands on my hips, turning me around to face him. He took my face in his hands, whispering,
I love you, baby.
I felt her tense, and my gut clenched. I hadn't premeditated saying it, but now that I did, I didn't want to take the words back. But my gut clenched tighter when Lori looked at me with uncertainty. Had this been too fast? Damn it, that was how I felt, and I saw no reason to hold back. I took it as a good sign that she wasn't pushing me away, but I didn't like the stiffness in her posture. You're amazing, and I feel so close to you that I don't want to be without you. That's so sweet. She swallowed, and I could swear I felt her becoming tinier by the second, like she was folding in on herself. I kissed her hard, hoping she felt the same way about me. I wanted her love. I needed it. There were no two ways about it. Can you say it again? She whispered when I moved my lips to her cheek. It dawned on me that she wasn't used to hearing the words, at least not from anyone she wasn't related to. I love you, Lori Connor. I peppered her neck with kisses. You deserve to be loved. I moved to her cheek and repeated, You deserve to be loved. I took a deep breath and went on. If you don't feel the same, I don't want to rush you. I'm okay with whatever you can give me right now. But I at least want to know if you imagine you could love me one day. I wasn't sure what I'd do if she said no. Part of me wanted to take anything she had to give me, but if she didn't see this going where I did... I do love you. I hadn't expected this. She ensnared me in the circle of her arms, crushing her lips to mine. Something seemed to expand in my chest as relief and joy overwhelmed me. I felt Lori smile against my lips while I was kissing her, like she couldn't contain herself. Life couldn't get better than this. She loved me. I wanted our lives to be so entwined that she'd never be able to shake me off. I thought I couldn't get involved emotionally anymore, but I'd been wrong. Hey, want to see my bedroom? She whispered. We were still standing in the living room, wrapped in each other. You want to take advantage of me, Ms. Connor?
Why, no, of course not. I'm a lady. I was rather hoping you'd take advantage of me, Mr. Fraser.
We broke out in laughter. Lori tried to shush us.
Well, wake up Milo.
We did our best to keep our voices down as we hurried to her bedroom.
Wow,
she exclaimed once I'd closed the door. I'd arranged scented candles throughout the room. Fishing the lighter out of my pocket, I lit up each one, then turned off the lights.
Any other surprises planned?
Lori asked in a husky voice. Lie down and you'll see. She tilted her head.
Want me naked?
Very naked, and on your belly. I watched her take off her dress and underwear, then remove the cover on the bed. She cocked a brow at the large beach towel I'd laid out. Lie down on the towel, on your belly, I instructed. When she was flat on the bed, I took out the massage oil from the nightstand, poured some in my palms, and then worked her upper back, pressing on her shoulder blades. Then I moved onto the middle of her back, rubbing along her spine.
You're so good at this. Why do you have to be so good?
To drive you crazy.
When did you think all this up?
I lowered my hands to her ass, kneading each cheek with great care. Last week, when you were running around on adrenaline, thought you could use some relaxing once it was over.
Are you even real? She whispered.
I slipped a finger between her folds until I reached her clit to prove how real it all was. She gasped. How was the event?
You want to talk to me now? She protested.
Why, is something distracting you? I pushed her ass in the air and strummed my fingers on her clit. When she bit into her pillow, I undid the buttons of my jeans. Watching pleasure consume her was the best foreplay. She came so hard that her entire body spasmed. I held her until she calmed down, then flipped her on her back. I was so hot for her that I could barely see straight, so I kicked off my clothes and underwear. Lying on top of her, I explored her mouth. I was controlling the kiss, and in the slow dance of our tongues, I showed her how I was going to love her tonight. She fidgeted, rubbing her soft skin against me. I turned my attention to her breasts, flicking my tongue over one nipple, then the other. The skin on her breasts turned to goosebumps. Her arms were covered too. I slid my hands to cup her ass and found some there as well. Do you have goosebumps on your pussy too, babe?
Why don't you check?
She rasped out. The answer was a resounding yes.
Graham,
she whispered when I descended to explore her body. I brought a hand to her pussy, and my eyes crossed when I felt how wet she was. I feathered my thumb in circles over her clit, feeling her press her feet deep in the mattress. She pressed her forearm over her mouth, but I still heard her groan.
Oh, God, Graham.
Her muffled voice set me on edge. I was dying to be inside her, but I wanted a taste first, so I settled my head between her legs, focusing on her clit with my tongue and my thumb. Lick, stroke, lick, stroke. I licked her until her legs trembled, and then I couldn't wait anymore. But when I reached to the nightstand for protection, Lori shifted into a sitting position.
Not yet.
She gripped my erection, and my hips buckled. Lori took her hand away, clamping her lips around the tip, then lowering her mouth on me.
Lori, fuck. Stop or I won't last.
She showed no signs of stopping, but I pulled back when my balls tightened almost painfully. I slid protection on and then positioned myself between her legs, teasing her by rubbing the crown against her inner thigh. Pleasure pulsed through me, and I wasn't even inside her.
Graham, please.
I moved the tip down to her entrance, sliding it in an inch before pulling back and dragging it up to her clit. Lori brought both hands to her breasts, touching her nipples. I leaned over and licked where she'd touched. At the same time, I buried myself inside her to the hilt. She gasped.
Graham, I need...
I know what you need. She was tight and warm around me, and I knew I wouldn't be able to go slow. We both needed it hard and fast. She pressed her heels just under my ass cheeks as we both moved ferociously. We kissed each other's groans until the very end. In that moment, I wasn't sure I even knew my own name, let alone if we'd been loud or not. We held on to each other until our ragged breaths turned to laughter. Lori pressed her forehead against my shoulder, speaking into my chest.
"That was intense," she murmured between fits of laughter.
"You could say that." After we cleaned up, we slipped under the covers, and I could tell Lori was going to fall asleep in a matter of minutes. I, on the other hand, felt wide awake. She blinked slowly, clearly making an effort not to drift away. Kissing the tip of her nose, I said, "Go to sleep, Lori."
"Aren't you tired?"
"No." I shifted her so that she could use my chest as a pillow. She sighed contentedly, shifting even more, half straddling me.
"I've always had troubles falling asleep," she murmured, "but not when I'm with you."
"Then go to sleep. I'll hold you." She was out in seconds, and her shallow breath was tickling my chest. This, right here, was all I needed to be a happy man.
Chapter 25. The meeting with Jeff took place 1 week later in a cafe in Silver Lake. I'd been giving myself mental pep talks all day, but I was still nervous as hell by the time Graham and I arrived. I'd been biting my nails and wringing my hands during the drive. Part of me was grateful Graham was with me. The other part wished he wouldn't see me in this state.
"Baby, we're doing this together, okay?"
I nodded, too nervous to reply. Graham kissed my hand before we climbed out of the car. When we entered the coffee shop, I located Jeff at a table in the corner. Seeing him was a shock. He looked as if 17 years had passed, not 7. His hairline had receded somewhat, and he'd grown a second chin. When he rose to his feet, I also noticed a beer belly.
"Lori, it's been too long."
Not long enough was what I wanted to say, but I just shook his hand. Jeff jerked his head back when Graham introduced himself.
"The L.A. Lords is Graham Frazier?"
"Yes."
"Man, I'm a big fan of the Lords."
"Glad to hear it." Graham's voice was curt and in no way invited further conversation.
"Lori, I'd like to speak with you alone."
I lifted a brow. "Tough luck." We all sat down, and after an awkward silence, Jeff said,
"You two are an item, I gather."
Graham draped an arm around my shoulders. "Yes, we are," I confirmed.
"Okay, what would you two like to order?"
Jeff asked.
"My treat." "How about cutting to the chase?"
Graham suggested, mirroring my thoughts.
"Cut me some slack, man. I'm trying to work up the courage."
Jeff shrugged. My stomach twisted. Work up the courage to what? My thoughts flew to Milo. Jace and Will had taken him out for dinner. "Why did you want to meet Jeff?" I asked. He set an elbow on the table, scratching his double chin.
"So, as you know, I'm working in Denver."
"Okay."
"I ran into some trouble recently. A patient sued me for giving him the wrong treatment. My lawyer initially said we had a strong case, but now it seems like there is a real possibility I might lose my license for malpractice. The hospital already fired me."
Graham and I exchanged a glance, and I could tell he was asking himself the same thing. What did this have to do with me and Milo?
"If the hospital fired you, I'm guessing they think the patient is right," I said. "All I did was prescribe some drugs that had just hit the market. The pharmaceutical company gave me a fat bonus, and their statistics were comparable to older drugs. I couldn't know it wouldn't work."
"Or you could have prescribed one of the time-tested drugs. But God forbid you actually do something that is not in your best interest, right? That goes right against the Hippocratic Oath." I couldn't help the venom in my voice.
"Well, it's a done deal now. My lawyer says it's important I appear as a responsible person. She looked up my records, said it doesn't bode well for me that I wasn't taking care of my kid."
I stiffened. "Get to the point." Under the table, Graham squeezed my hand.
"I know I haven't been good about paying child support, but it would help if you'd declare that I did."
I stared at him. He couldn't be serious. This was why he wanted to meet?
"You son of a bitch."
That was Graham. I needed a few seconds to calm down before talking. "You have the nerve to show up here and ask me to lie for you? After you ditched me when I was pregnant and ignored your son all his life?
Come on, Lori. That was a long time ago. And seeing the company you keep, it's not like you're still pining after me or need the money. Landon's rich as fuck anyway. Not like you ever needed my money. What's the harm in helping me out?
The harm is that I'd be lying. You are not a responsible person, and you have not paid $1 of child support. I will not pretend otherwise.
Lori, don't be like that. You know I could make things difficult for you. I have never exerted my paternal rights, but if I decided to... You continue that line of conversation, and you won't have teeth left in your mouth,
Graham said. His voice was calm and composed, but it sounded lethal. I wanted to punch Jeff myself. Not only didn't he care one iota about Milo, but he wanted to use him as a bargaining chip. Christ, I couldn't believe he'd become even more of a scumbag over the years. Jeff swallowed.
This already ate up all of my savings. They find out I've been avoiding child support all these years, they'll be at my throat.
Which is what you deserve, I said. He lifted his chin, narrowing his eyes.
You have no idea what it took to put me through med school and residency. I worked hard for this career to let a bitch like you ruin it.
I barely blinked, and Graham was already out of his chair, grabbing Jeff by his collar. I sprang to my feet, along with several other patrons. Two waiters were hurrying toward us.
You're a fucking scumbag, Graham bellowed. Christ, what did that bitch do to have you so whipped?
Next thing I knew, Graham's fist connected with Jeff's jaw.
Jesus Christ, are you insane?
Jeff covered his jaw with one hand.
Don't you dare talk about Lori like that in front of me. Take it from someone who knows. She's not worth the trouble.
That earned him a second punch. The waiters pulled them apart then, and I immediately hurried to inspect Graham's hand. His knuckles were red, but not bloody. I looked up at Jeff. This conversation is over. You have anything more to say on the topic? Talk to my lawyer. If I were you, I wouldn't. I can take you to court for that accrued child support. He paled, but I wasn't nearly done. I wanted to let out everything I had on my chest. You decided 7 years ago that you didn't want to be part of our lives? Fine. But don't think you have any rights to make any demands or to expect anything of me. You're just being a jackass showing up here, demanding I lie for you. As I said, you have anything more to say on this topic, contact my lawyer. I don't want to deal with you again. Jeff's jaw went slack. He wasn't used to this side of me. In med school, I was young and naive. Even when he called after being gone for a year, I still gave him the benefit of the doubt. I'd hoped he'd finally decided to man up and to face his responsibilities. One of my biggest flaws had always been believing everyone deserved a second chance, and a third. Before Jeff had a chance to say anything, Graham spoke.
We're done here. You contact Lori again. You'll have bigger problems on your hands than a malpractice lawsuit.
I was shaking slightly. Graham must have sensed it, because he splayed his hand on my upper back. He tucked me closer to him on the way to the car. When we reached it, he opened the door for me. I'm sorry this was so shitty. How is your hand?
Not as bad as his jaw will be tomorrow. I'll put some ice on it. Don't you worry about me. You were magnificent, so strong and decisive.
He caressed my cheek with the back of his uninjured hand, his thumb dwelling on my chin before moving to rest on one corner of my mouth. He kissed the other corner. I rose on my tiptoes, placing my arms around his neck, flattening my torso to his. I loved this closeness between us, even though I wished I could pull myself together already. I was still shaking.
What's on your mind, sweet girl? You can tell me anything.
Not feeling so strong now, I admitted. The words felt strange on my tongue. I wasn't used to sharing these things with anyone but my siblings. I hoped he wouldn't think I was a weakling.
Lucky I'm here to make it all better.
He feathered his lips from the corner of my mouth to the center, kissing the upper lip, then the lower one. And how do you plan to do that? He gave me one of his knee-weakening, panty-melting, mind-blowing kisses.
Love your plan, I murmured when we came up for breath. This was just a kiss. The plan is more elaborate.
Do tell.
I texted Jace and Will. They're going to drop Milo off at home in a few hours. He talked them into going to a movie.
Of course he did.
I shook my head with fake dismay.
Hey, the little guy is persuasive. You're the only one able to resist him. Don't be so hard on the rest of us mortals.
I turned the fake dismay into a fake glare. If I'm not too hard, I'll find a real-sized boat in my yard next time to go with that tent.
He smirked. Relax, baby. I'd never put it in your yard. I'd rent a garage.
I laughed for real now, a full belly laugh.
I'll make you dinner, and then I'm going to work out all the tension from your system.
Will I get a massage?
Yeah.
And some sexy time?
Possibly.
I pouted.
Is that all you care about?
He teased. Absolutely not. I appreciate all your qualities. It'd be a shame not to put those delicious, sexy skills to use, though.
You wicked woman. You're lucky I love you.
He took my face in his hands, studying me.
Are you okay, Lori? The truth.
I think so. This afternoon just brought back some unpleasant memories. I've always known Jeff was a dick. He surpassed himself today, showing up like this, asking me to lie for him. No interest in Milo.
Were you hoping he would want to be a part of Milo's life?
I shook my head. No, I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't trust him even if he tried. He's flighty and would only hurt Milo more.
I wouldn't let that happen. You and Milo are family to me.
I love you so much, I whispered.
You handled everything great today. Now, let's go home.
During the drive, I tried to calm down, but I was unsuccessful. Seeing Graham's reddened knuckles didn't help. His lips were pressed in a thin line. He was no doubt rehashing the past hour in his mind, just like I was. It set me on edge. Seeing Jeff today brought back the ugly feeling and the fear of being tossed aside. I shouldn't have let it get to me, but I was only human. Even after dinner, I wasn't feeling like myself. Graham told me as much. I'm not angry or nervous, just unsettled, I tried to explain. Not sure if I'm making much sense.
You do. Seeing someone who has hurt you before has to get to you.
I blinked, relieved he understood, that he wasn't judging me. It did. I hope I never have to see his face again. Hooking an arm around my waist, he brought me close to him.
I love your strength, Lori.
He dragged the tip of his nose up and down my neck, making me shudder. Thank you for coming with me today, and for being here now. Facing things together, as a team, was new to me. My family had always been behind me, of course, but this was different.
My pleasure.
He placed open-mouthed kisses on my neck, descending to my shoulder. My hands roamed his chest, and then I couldn't help myself and slipped my fingers under his shirt, tracing the lines of his six-pack. Then I undid the button of his jeans and the fly, needing to touch more of him. When I squeezed his cock, he tugged at my lower lip with his teeth. Heat zipped through me. Graham pushed both straps of my dress off my shoulders, lowering the zipper on the back. I was glad to be wearing a simple beach dress, easy to put on, easy to get off. He tossed it somewhere behind him in the living room, raking his heated gaze over my almost naked body. The lingerie was so tiny that it didn't cover much. He got his jeans and boxers out of the way, and then his erection was between us, touching my belly, hot and hard. I opened my thighs, but Graham pushed them even wider apart as he stepped between them, guiding his erection lower, rubbing the length against my center. I still had my thong on, and the friction was making my legs quiver. With grabby hands, I took off Graham's shirt. "Do you have a condom on you?" I whispered. "I don't think we're going to make it to the bedroom." He laughed against my lips, then reached for his jeans. After taking a condom out of his wallet, he rolled it on under my greedy gaze. We made it to the couch, but no farther. He kissed me ferociously. His hands were everywhere. His mouth was driving me crazy.
"Baby, I'll be rough," he whispered.
"I like it rough. And fast." He didn't even take off my lingerie, only pushed the scrap of fabric covering my center to one side. He ran his fingers across my opening, strumming them against the sensitive flesh. I lifted my hips in a wordless request. When he nipped my clit between two fingers, I nearly came. He slid inside me.
"Wrap your legs around me.
You'll take me in even deeper. I followed his command, bringing my knees to his sides, then resting my heels under his ass. He pulled back, then pushed inside me again, filling me up, stretching me. Graham! Our lovemaking was wild and unrestrained. When he brought his palm to my lower belly, pressing down, the sensation of him relentlessly driving inside me became even more intense. Graham kissed the tops of my breasts, then pushed the bra up, releasing my nipples. Cool air hit my peaks, and then the lash of his tongue. He was making me burn everywhere, even where he wasn't touching me. Even my toes felt on fire. And when he strummed his thumb over my clit, I came hard. He grunted out my name, a raw, primal sound, until he climaxed. Then he went still over me, bracing himself on one arm, keeping the other on my waist. His voice was rough when he spoke in my ear. Nothing compares to this feeling. This, Lori, is everything.
Chapter 26.
This is so cool,
Milo exclaimed for the 10th time, inspecting the miniature carton warehouse a week later. We'd been working on a school project for days. I'm sure it'll earn you first place. I'd been tinkering with it every evening, and I was proud of it. Boys, you ready? Milo, we have to leave or you'll be late to school, Lori called.
Ready, Mom.
He slung his backpack over his shoulder, then walked to the front door, holding the project carefully in both hands. Lori was waiting for him there. After Milo skidded out the door, I closed the distance to Lori and kissed her.
Now that's what I call a good morning kiss, she murmured. Want to have lunch together?
Can't. A handsome man is taking me to a fancy dinner in 2 weeks, so I need to go shopping. Today is the only day I have time.
A handsome man, huh?
Handsome and charming.
Sounds like you like him.
Oh, I really, really do.
You looking forward to the dinner?
It wasn't just a fancy dinner. It was a party hosted by the club to celebrate this season's results. Everyone was bringing their partners, and I wanted Lori by my side.
Very much. I plan to blow that certain handsome man's mind with my outfit, hence why I need time to hunt down a fancy dress.
Have fun.
When I stepped inside the club 1 hour later, the receptionist pointed to the waiting area after greeting me. That guy sitting there has been asking for you. His name is Jeff Finn.
What the hell?
I'll take care of this. I crossed the lobby to him. He rose to his feet when he saw me.
What are you doing here? I barked.
Lori had been on edge since the meeting with that fucker last week, and nothing I did seemed to take that edge away completely.
Waiting for you? We need to talk.
Lori told you to contact her lawyer.
I'm not talking to Lori, though, am I?
Here to talk to you. I had no interest in what he had to say, but I didn't want to attract any attention by having him thrown out. I also didn't want him to bother Lori. Let's go to my office. I led us to the upper floor, closing the door behind me once we were in my office. I stood behind my desk and didn't bother asking him to sit down.
What do you want?
I didn't like the outcome of our last meeting.
Tough luck.
Maybe you shouldn't have insulted Lori, just like you shouldn't have been an ass for the last 7 years and paid the child support. Then you wouldn't have to ask Lori to lie for you.
I didn't ask to be a father. Don't see why I had to pay anything.
You're a fucking coward. I clenched my fists and my jaw. I detested people like him, who shunned responsibility.
If you think I'll put in a good word for you with Lori, you're wrong.
A good word? No, that's not why I'm here.
So why are you here?
You and Lori looked cozy in that coffee shop. I bet you wouldn't want me to stick around and cause trouble.
You can't cause any.
That's debatable. If I showed up at Milo's school to introduce myself, or at Lori's house... My throat tightened. I forced myself to take in deep breaths and expel the air slowly. It didn't help calm me down.
You go anywhere near them, and you're going to be very sorry.
He sat on the chair in front of my desk, uninvited.
But imagine how unpleasant that would be for Lori, and confusing for the boy, too. You wouldn't want that. I imagine Lori wouldn't be too happy with you if you let that happen.
Get to the point. Why are you here? I was talking through gritted teeth, and the idiot was smiling. I've got your attention. Good. Let's talk about what you're willing to do so I don't pay anyone any confusing visits. What do you want? I realized I can get a lot more out of this than a declaration from Lori. I want money.
What?
My insurance will pay for the malpractice damage, but since I won't be able to practice anymore, I won't have an income.
How the fuck is that my problem? I stuffed my hands in my pockets to keep from throttling the idiot.
I can become a problem, make Lori's life difficult, claiming paternity rights and so on.
If she takes you to court for that child support, she can get in line behind other people I owe money to. He shrugged.
You write me a check, I'll make myself scarce.
You have some nerve showing up here.
The lawsuit is ruining me. I've put in 120-hour weeks for years. I don't have much to lose here. I'm a desperate man. I have the nerve for much more.
It was all I could do not to physically drag him out of the club. Doing that wouldn't solve anything. Sure, Lori had a case against him in court, but I didn't want her to have to see his face ever again. That meeting was hard for her. I didn't want her to go through it again. This idiot had caused her enough pain over the years. And what if he did try to contact Milo? What if he showed up at the school? Giving him money felt like rewarding him, but if it meant he'd be out of Lori's life, I was happy to do it. I took out the checkbook I kept in the top drawer of my desk and wrote down a 6-figure amount. I handed it to him over the table. He jerked his head back when he read the sum. You ever contact Lori again, I'll get a restraining order against you, I said calmly. He snorted, pointing at the photograph of Lori, Milo, and me that sat on my desk. Any comments, and I'll give you a black eye to go with that jaw.
I got what I came for.
He fluttered the check in the air, then turned around and left my office. My pulse was hammering in my eardrums. I was clenching my fists. I had to calm down because I was attending a team practice and didn't want the players to see me like this. I descended to the team's training grounds, still feeling very much on edge. I was the first to arrive, but Jace stormed in seconds later.
That Jeff jackass was here.
Came to see me. Got rid of him.
What did he want? I swear to God, if he doesn't leave Lori alone,
he sputtered. I hadn't ever seen Jace lose his cool. He was the most level-headed on the team, which was why he had great potential for captain. When one of his teammates became hot-headed, I could count on Jace to calm him down before a referee had to step in.
I took care of it. He won't be bothering Lori again.
He glanced at my hand.
Lori said you punched him the other day.
Yeah. After a pause, Jace extended his hand, shaking mine. Welcome to the family. When the coach and the rest of the team filtered in, I went to sit on the sidelines in my usual spot. I barely managed to pay attention to the coach's strategic indications. I replayed the meeting in my mind. Damn it, I should have called a lawyer first, have papers drawn up so I'd have it in writing that Jeff Finn would never bother Lori and Milo again. I was usually good at analyzing situations from all angles, but upstairs, I'd acted on impulse. My thoughts remained on Lori and Milo during the entire practice. I hoped I did the right thing to protect the woman I loved and the boy I'd come to think of as my own son.
Chapter 27. Milo came down with a cold the following week, but he was in top shape by the time his spring break started the week after. Unfortunately, Graham caught the bug, and he still had it on Saturday. The club's dinner party was tonight, but I wasn't sure he was in any shape to attend. I took an Uber to his house early in the afternoon. If he wasn't feeling well enough to attend, then I'd just take care of him. My schedule was clear anyway. Milo's spring break had begun, and he'd gone with Marlene, her husband, and their 8-year-old son to Orlando. They wouldn't be back until Thursday. It was the first time I'd be apart from my boy for so many days, but he'd insisted on going, and I didn't want to be a hog. I found Graham tucked in his bed, curled on one side, hugging a pillow half asleep. I crouched next to him. It was the third day of sickness, and he seemed much healthier. "How are you feeling?" I whispered. "Like I'd died 3 days ago and now I'm coming back to life." I pressed my lips together. "Men. You'd think he had leprosy." I'm sorry you caught the bug.
How come you haven't?
I'm a mom. I have enough antibodies for 2 lifetimes. I'm going to the kitchen to make you some tea. While I was busying myself around his kitchen, I heard a faint buzzing from his living room. His phone was ringing, the word Nana appearing on the screen. I ran upstairs with it, but Graham had fallen asleep. When I returned to the kitchen, it buzzed again. I decided to answer.
Hi, Ms. Scott.
I'd nearly called her Nana. This is Lori. We haven't met, but...
Lori Connor? Graham's Lori?
Yes, he's down with a cold, and he's asleep right now. Can you tell him to call me back?
Of course.
Thank you. You know, when he was a kid, I used to make a concoction for him when he had a cold.
Can you give me the recipe?
Do you have anything to write on?
I put the phone on loudspeaker and opened the application for notes on my phone.
Yes, I do.
I typed into my phone as she spoke, then held it to my ear again once she was done.
Thank you. I'll check if he has any of the ingredients, and if he's missing any, there's a farmer's market a few blocks away. I'll go shopping there.
He talks about you often, you know.
He does?
Of course. About you and Milo. He's quite taken with both of you.
Graham is a great man, Lori. Take care of him.
Even though her tone was still warm, it held a hint of warning.
I promise.
We chatted for a while, and she regaled me with stories from his childhood. I loved this window into his past, and was already making mental notes about all the ways I could tease him. Nana was giving me excellent ammunition. After hanging up, I checked his fridge and pantry, but he was still missing a few herbs for the concoction, so I headed out to the farmer's market. By the time I returned and prepared the remedy, we were on a time crunch. Graham was already awake when I brought it to his room. I handed him the mug, and he looked up in surprise.
You know how to make this?
Now I do. Spoke to Nana.
My Nana?
Yes, I brought you the phone when she called, but you were asleep, and then she called again. I answered to tell her you were sleeping, and we started talking. She gave me the recipe. Found some things in your kitchen and bought the rest from the farmer's market. You should call Nana back when you have the chance.
He took several sips and didn't say anything in between. Had I committed a faux pas by answering his phone? I hadn't even stopped to consider that maybe I'd overstepped some boundaries. He downed the entire contents of the mug, set it on the nightstand, and slid lower on his pillow. He patted the mattress, and I climbed right next to him. I still felt a little awkward about the phone call. These past 2 weeks, I'd sensed some unease on Graham's part. A few times he'd seemed to want to talk, then changed his mind. Maybe I was reading too much into everything. I'd been jumpy since the meeting with Jeff, and felt guilty that he'd driven Graham to violence. I hoped Graham didn't think this kind of drama was bound to happen again. My life was usually drama-free.
Graham, did I do something wrong? Should I have not answered your phone?
He turned on his side, facing me.
No, not at all. I'm just surprised you went to so much trouble.
It wasn't trouble at all, I assured him, detecting a hint of emotion in his eyes. Did he think he wasn't worth that trouble?
I had to rectify that. I scooted closer to him, intending to prove my appreciation.
So, what did you and Nana talk about?
You, of course. She told me many stories. I can tease you for years.
I knew it. Should have been there for your first conversation so I could save face.
I'm fairly confident Nana would have dished dirt on you even so.
Probably.
He kissed my cheek.
I won't kiss your mouth, just in case.
I came all the way here and I don't even get a kiss?
I said I won't kiss your mouth. Didn't say anything about other body parts.
He scooted closer, kissing my bare shoulder and my neck.
You're taking advantage, I informed him, failing to work any sort of severity in my tone.
I'm a sick man. Have some mercy.
He was smiling against my skin. On I went with my fake chastising.
You're a sick man taking advantage. I feel compelled to point that out. How will you learn otherwise?
He pulled back a notch, wiggling his eyebrows.
I'm blissfully happy in my ignorance.
Are you sure you're up for the party tonight? I asked.
Yeah, I'm feeling much better. I was only messing with you. Is that so? I crushed my mouth to his, taking what I wanted. When I pulled back, all my lady parts tingled at his lusty expression. But we were on a tight schedule if we wanted to make it to the party. We should get ready. Besides, I had great plans for us after the party. We had my house all to ourselves, and I hadn't just bought a fancy new dress. What I was going to wear underneath the dress was equally enticing. A short while later, I stepped out of the bathroom, dressed to the nines. I was wearing a green wraparound dress with pearls at my ears and around my neck. I'd styled my hair in loose curls. Graham looked as if he wanted to eat me up. Fuck, you're beautiful, Lori. Thank you. I twirled around once, observing him coming closer out the corner of my eye. He hadn't dressed up yet, so he was only wearing boxers. That left so much skin on display. He circled my waist with his arms. Graham, we're supposed to be at the party in half an hour. Change of plans. Bringing his mouth to my ear, he whispered, I'm thinking me inside you, loving you until you come hard. I bit lightly into his shoulder when he bunched my dress up, trying to maintain my composure. He blew out a breath when he touched the lacy end of my stocking. Then he groaned when he realized I had no panties. I plan to surprise you after the party, I said coyly. You're not wearing panties. Something for you to keep in mind tonight. The dress is tight, no chance of flashing anyone the goods, but you have to get dressed now. His eyes flashed with mischief, and I knew he wasn't going to let me off the hook. Half an hour later, we were officially late already. We messed up my hair, I called from the bathroom while he was suiting up. When I came out, hair styled again, he smirked. I crossed my arms over my chest. My lips are swollen. It's a great look on you. I glared. He bit back a laugh. You look like you've been thoroughly kissed. Only you and I will know where those lips have been. Everyone else will just know you're mine. I sent him an air kiss. Why? You think one of those smoking hot players might hit on me otherwise? They won't if they know what's good for them. I still have to refresh my makeup. I'll wait for you downstairs and call Nana in the meantime. When I descended the staircase a short while later, I could sense the change in mood before even seeing Graham pace around the living room. There were deep frown lines on his forehead, and he kept shaking his head, as if he was having a silent conversation with himself. Graham, did anything happen? He stopped mid-stride, jamming his hands in his pockets. Talk to Nana. Is she okay? She didn't seem sick when I talked to her. She's not sick. He started pacing again, rubbing one hand down his face. His shoulders looked stiff, as if a lot of tension had accumulated there in a short period of time. My dad called her. He's in a financial shithole again and asked if she could bail him out. Oh. I was too stunned to say anything else. He didn't tell me anything about it when I talked to him. Graham paced the room some more, but didn't offer more information. You still want to go to the party? I asked. I can't bail on it. We should go, or we'll miss the dinner altogether. Chapter 28. The restaurant was near Hancock Park, and we drove through a section on Windsor Boulevard lined with gigantic palm trees that were roughly four times taller than the nearby lampposts. I spotted the Hollywood sign in the distance. Everyone was already at the restaurant when we arrived. Since the event was private, we had the place to ourselves. I felt like we were in an open space, what with the glass walls and ceiling, and all the greenery outdoors. Let's introduce you to everyone. Graham offered me his arm as we walked in. I gladly took it, snaking my arm around his elbow. My man was still tense, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it right now. The management was sitting at one large table, the players at two others. They all rose to their feet as Graham introduced me. Some were here with girlfriends, but most were solo. Amber was here with Matt. I hugged them both. I hadn't seen them since the wedding, and her baby bump was visible now. You look great. Married life suits you, I said. Won't complain. Do you organize baby showers? Of course I do. I'll pick your brain later on.
She rubbed her belly. I wanted to chat with her more, but we still had to finish the introduction round.
Hey, I think I know this one, I said when we reached Jace. My brother stroked his chin.
Could be we share a last name?
I grinned as he kissed my cheek.
Jace, why didn't you introduce us before? I'd have scooped her up before Graham did,
one of his teammates said.
That's Gaston. Ignore him. We all do, Jace explained.
Gaston opened his mouth, but promptly closed it when Graham glared at him. I could tell the guys enjoyed getting a rise out of Graham. Our seats were at the management table, but everyone mingled, especially since it was an open buffet. Graham didn't relax all evening. If anything, he seemed to become tenser as hours went by. It was all there, in his body language. The stiffness in his shoulders took hold of his neck, too. Whenever I caught his eye, all I got were strained smiles. I ate pastrami, crab cakes, and a finely diced tomatoes and cucumbers salad with lime juice. Dessert was the highlight, though. Jace came up to me when I was loading a second serving of cheesecake on my plate. The chef here deserves a hug. This cheesecake is the best, I said. Jace shook his head mockingly.
Easy on the compliments, or I'll tell Val.
You will do no such thing, unless you want your coach to know you routinely ignore your food plan.
You wouldn't do that.
Try me. I bumped his shoulder.
Sisters. They sabotage even the best laid plans.
And we take that role seriously. I'm proud of you, Jace. I had no clue in how many more ways I could show him that before it went to his head. He was the team's most valuable player and had been celebrated tonight as such. That required a lot of work and dedication. A pretty blonde waitress came up to us, carrying a glass on her tray. Mr. Connor, I have your special order here. Should I bring it to your table? Jace shook his head, picking up the glass.
Thanks.
Is there anything else I can get you? She sounded a little breathless.
No, that's all.
Poor woman had stars in her eyes. Jace was doing what he'd done since he was a teen, charming the opposite sex. I'd realized that smile would be trouble ever since my high school friends had blushed around him, despite the age difference. That smile had grown even more dangerous after Jace became aware of its effect. Question. Why is there dessert here if all the players are on a strict meal plan? I asked after she left.
Because everyone else isn't. Amber arranged this. She likes to torture us.
Ooh, I forgot to give her my thanks for that calendar. Best idea she's had.
Please don't. That'll just give her more ideas.
That's the point. Jace sipped from his glass, then took a deep breath.
I meant to ask, did Jeff bother you again?
No, not at all. Not even my lawyer heard from him.
Graham must have scared him good when he showed at the club.
I tightened the grip on my plate, suddenly feeling like the last bit of cake I'd swallowed was crawling up my throat. Jeff came to the club?
You didn't know?
No, Graham didn't mention it. When was that?
About 2 weeks ago. Graham was in a mood afterward. Seemed out of it for a couple of days.
What was happening? Why hadn't he brought this up? And why the hell would Jeff bother Graham? I glanced around, searching for Graham, and found him talking with a player on the other side of the room. My stomach shrunk to a tight knot. Why hadn't he told me anything? Had Jeff's visit upset him that much? Maybe I hadn't imagined Graham's unease these past weeks. After Jace's teammates pulled him away, Amber and I talked about the baby shower, but I couldn't focus on planning anything. I wished this evening would come to an end faster. Graham was still tense when we climbed in his car and drove off. The conversation with Nana had clearly rattled him, but I wished he'd talk to me about it. Whatever it was, we could work through it together. And even if there wasn't anything to work through, I wanted him to know he could talk to me. During the drive, I kept wringing my hands in my lap, trying to decide on the best angle to tackle this. I was completely out of sorts. When we pulled in front of my house, Graham didn't turn off the engine. It was dark outside, and in the dim yellowish light cast by the lamppost, I couldn't make out his expression.
I'm going to head to my place this evening. I'm not in the right headspace right now.
My stomach bottomed out. He thought that was the solution. I thought we were at the point where we could talk things out, no matter what they were. Don't close yourself off to me. Talk to me.
Graham bristled. I bit the inside of my cheek. Damn, that came out different than I'd intended. My tone was almost accusatory.
Not much to say. I still have to figure out what to do.
I took in his body language. Shoulders hunched, head hung. I wanted to comfort him, but he didn't seem to want that. I wasn't going to let him pull away, though. I didn't want that kind of dynamic in our relationship. It wasn't healthy. Besides, he'd been the one who'd pushed me to share things with him until now. Why wasn't he reciprocating? Since I had no idea how to tackle the issue with his dad, I switched gears. Jace told me Jeff stopped by the club 2 weeks ago. What was that about? I wanted to get to the bottom of this. Graham straightened up in his seat.
I meant to tell you about that, but then I thought there was no point anyway.
But what did he want?
Money.
What? God damn it. I couldn't believe Jeff. That was why I hadn't heard a word. My previous anxiety morphed into anger. That moron.
He showed up saying that he'd be making a nuisance of himself if I didn't give him money, so I wrote him a check.
Graham, that's... Wow. That you'd do that for Milo, and for me, I'm grateful.
I was stunned and humbled, but the whole thing didn't sit well with me.
But I'd like us to talk about these things before making a decision. You can't decide on your own when the ramifications might affect me, and especially Milo. It doesn't work this way. I don't think that giving Jeff what he wanted was smart. He might come back for more.
Can't seem to do anything right, can I?
He sounded pissed off, which instantly pissed me off, too. That's not what I mean. I just don't like the lack of communication.
I didn't want you to have to deal with him again. That meeting with him lasted less than an hour, and you were upset for days.
So the solution was to push me out? Like you're doing now? Is this how it's always going to be?
The two things aren't related. I wanted to spare you another unpleasant conversation. If you can't understand why I'd do that, maybe you don't feel as strongly for me as I thought.
What? How is this conversation getting so out of control? I understand that the conversation with your Nana has you out of sorts, but I'm here for you. Graham rubbed his hands up and down his face, as if he was losing his patience. Then he gripped the steering wheel.
I keep thinking the old man will pull himself together, grow up. He's 60. Scares me to even think we're related.
You're nothing like him. You've been great to Milo, and to me.
What's to say I won't screw up in the future?
He leaned his head back against the headrest, frowning at the windshield. I went very still, feeling as if someone was pulling the rug from under me.
So what? You think it's better if you don't try?
I ran a hand through my hair, trying to calm down and be rational. But I felt more irrational with every second.
Is this too much for you?
Graham turned to face me abruptly.
That's not what I'm saying.
But is this what you actually mean? Had it all become too much for him? Was it the thing with Jeff? Was the strangeness in the last 2 weeks because he had second thoughts about being in our lives? No, those were crazy thoughts. I was just reeling because I was afraid of losing him. I had to keep it together.
This isn't about you or Milo. Lori, you've got this all wrong,
he insisted. My chest constricted instantly. Was he about to give me an it's not you, it's me speech? Or was fear clouding my judgment?
Let me explain,
he continued. I wasn't equipped to have this conversation right now. I wasn't rational, and I didn't want to overthink every word he would say. I needed to be on my own to process everything. I was so riled up that I couldn't think straight, let alone carry a conversation. I shook my head and cleared my throat. No need. He motioned to turn off the engine, but I held my hand up.
Don't. I want to be alone. Lori, you need to calm down.
He definitely wasn't calm either. Don't patronize me, I said.
I wasn't. Okay, you know what? Clearly neither of us is rational right now.
I agree. Good night.
Good night.
I climbed out of the car and walked to the house without looking over my shoulder. Once inside, I peeked out the window. 3 seconds later, he drove away. I released a long breath. What just happened?
Chapter 29.